السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International, another edition of the program known as Screaming Reel. Saturday morning, it is the 13th of May. To remind our listeners, just before the month of Ramadan, we have just one more program, and that will be next week, Saturday morning. And we would then join our listeners for the Screaming Reels program, of course, after the month of Ramadan, inshallah. But for today, of course, a little chilly morning it is, and now we know that the winter months have set in, and this is what it's going to be like. And of course, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always say to people that every condition, every situation, we've got to thank our Creator, we've got to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we've got to appreciate that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for us, and that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for us. So this morning we're going to have Brother Adil with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mr. Jackie Mullen, to all our wonderful listeners on this very, very cold Saturday morning.
Adil, how are you doing, Adil?
Right now I'm sitting in a thick blanket here with a nice mug of coffee.
What a nice cup of?
Of coffee.
Is it that cold, Adil?
It's appropriate, yeah. Yeah, you know what was scary last night? I don't know, around about 3 o'clock or something, I got up with such a shock because I thought somebody threw stones on my roof. And then next minute, this thing just came down. And huge, huge hailstones were hitting on the roof. And it was quite frightening because, you know, a few years ago here in Azabu, we had a hailstorm. And my car was quite badly damaged also. Lots of people got affected by that heavy hailstorm. So here in this part of the world, when we have this heavy hail, you all get very, very frightened.
Sure. So, and then how long was this for?
I think it was for about maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes. And then it stopped after the speaker along with it. But this morning when I went out, you know, I could see there was still a little bit of the hail still there because it's so cold, it didn't melt fast enough.
I seen some pictures, of course, some people said it was of Lesotho, and they showed a lot of snow. But unfortunately, you know the thing is with this WhatsApp pictures that you get, Adil, you know that one picture that goes around about Harrismuth. I think every year for the last 5 or 6 years, that same picture comes out. Some people start talking anything about the weather, and that picture goes around. So I'm not saying that it wasn't. I mean, well, with the weather like this, perhaps it did snow in those areas. This showed about Lesotho. And I mean, it just looked like a white blanket everywhere. So sometimes I say to the guys, you know, they enjoy the snow, and we get the cold side here. And then I don't know if you saw the other messages that were going around, Adil. They say that the South African Weather Bureau Service has confirmed that the weather is like this here because of the Muslim women folk opening up their freezers to check their Ramadan stock.
Yeah. Well, luckily they're all still sleeping now, so they won't hear what we just said because they're so tired from making all the savory. And you know what's the funny part? You notice how we always get blamed for the savory.
Yeah.
Yes, you may know my husband eats it. Then when it comes time, then you know you must watch your health and you can't eat bread. You can't do that. I mean, we really got it heavy.
We got it tough, Adil.
The truth is that the kids nowadays, I don't know if you experience that, but I mean, my kids are now gone much bigger, mashallah, but you know, but you see that plate of samosas, you take your one samosa and you eat, having your halima or whatever, and then when you put your hand to go for the another one, it's all gone.
Yeah.
You see? So, I don't know.
Before you know it, it's kalas, Adil.
No chance
of getting a second of this.
It's about getting used to eating kajur and water. And stuff like that.
Aziz indicated to our brother Hanzana this morning, who is our engineer, is getting hold of Brother Luqman Mia for today, inshallah. We'll get him shortly on the program. And I mean, like I said to our listeners as well, that yes, of course, today, one of the last programs. Next week would be the last program, the Screaming Reels program, of course, just before the month of Ramadan. And thereafter, then we'll continue. But Adil, again, last week we were speaking, or I think it was the week before, with regard to time and barakah, that we unfortunately we see less and less and less of every day in our lives. And really, you know, if you recall last year Ramadan, and before we know it, you know, before it's not like, you know, many a times when we speak certain things, and then you say in the olden days, or it was happening in our grandparents' time, and you witness things like that. In terms of just time, Adil, this within our own life, when you see this happening, 4 or 5 years ago, Adil, there was time from that one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, from one Hajj to the next Hajj. There was barakah in that day, in that weekend. Now, Adil, I mean, you could kind of clearly remember last Ramadan as though it was just a few weeks ago, Adil.
I think what we need to reflect on and introspect is the fact that we find our lives to be so busy. I mean, if you just take an average day, you've got to get up, go to work, and then the kids come back, then the kids, they went to school, then they come back, then it's madrasa, then they come back, then it's homework, then it's madrasa work, and by the time you're going back, you know, to bed, you're like exhausted, and then it's the next day again. So we're in this very, very, very heavy schedule, routine, constantly, you know, I think, and then in between there also, you've got the phone, and then you've got the WhatsApp, and you've got the Facebook, and this thing, and that thing, and those things also, you'll find, you pick up your phone to go and read a few messages. When you look up, you'll find, hey, I just spent an hour on phone. You know, it's these kind of things that show that our lives are so busy, so hectic, and you're communicating with people all the time, but you're not communicating with anybody. You know, you don't have the physical contact per se. So our lives have become so busy that you don't even take notice of the time. You know, sometimes you'll find that you meet a person and then you realize, hey, 3 or 4 months since I met this person. And then you ask yourself, but how come, you know, there's no contact for the last 3 or 4 months? It just flies like that. Ramadan, we are anticipating the coming of Ramadan. But at the same time, there's sort of like a little bit of a fear that before it comes, it's only going to be over before you know it.
Yes.
No?
100%. And,
I think maybe if we introspect and we just sort of cut down on a few of the things that we normally do in the routine and just sort of focus more on Ibadah, I think, inshallah, we will sort of get some of that, how can I say, well, I'm going to put it in a good word, some of that, I don't want to say the word benefit, I want to say, the enjoyment in Ramadan.
Yes, because benefit, I mean, for the month of Ramadan, it will always be there for us. And like you said, I think that there is a good word to use, that we would enjoy that month even more, inshallah. We'll enjoy that month even more. Adil, we got Brother Luqman with us on the line. Let's go to Brother Luqman. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah, you good, Luqman.
Allah, shukran, Allah. And assalamu alaikum to Adil and to all our listeners.
Luqman, myself and Adil were saying early on that this is one of those perfect mornings where you don't want to leave the house. You just sort of sit there, and like Adil is doing, mashallah, this morning, some of us are privileged, you know, Luqman, where we just sit with a blanket and a cup of coffee at home.
Yeah, that's the only thing you can do in this weather. I don't think there is anything else, just like you say. Those of us that got fireplaces and sit in front of the fireplace, cuddled up with a nice cup of coffee.
You know what you're saying there is such an important thing, because in every season that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, in every condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, there's sort of some enjoyment if you experience it in the correct way. Like now you making a whole winter morning sound so like sitting in front of the fire, having a coffee. That's actually quite a nice thing.
Gee, like you said, you know, we have to take benefit and also appreciate everything is only from Allah. Everything He blesses us with, we must make lots of shukr for it, inshallah.
100%. And you only appreciate something once you don't have the other. So I mean, we would only appreciate the summer months, and we would only appreciate the heat and that outdoor life, of course. If you have these cold days and you go through them, then you would really, really appreciate those hot summer days.
Well, gee, you know, I've quite a few years ago, one of our good customers told us, you know, if you don't experience cold, you don't appreciate warm. If you don't know what experience bad times, you don't appreciate the good times. So you have to have both. You know, it's a balance, the perfect balance that Allah has created, and we just have to adapt and make sabr. And if you are a person that can't take the cold at all and finding it very difficult, then inshallah, just make sabr.
Where expert checker to do that?
Yeah, let's keep yourself nice, especially the fishermen that have gone out and that are still going out, you know. Alhamdulillah, you get fishermen are a different breed altogether, you know. They say come hell or high water, you know, they're going fishing. So there's a good number of fishermen that are going out that are already at the dams, you know. It's amazing how quickly this cold front came in. You know, yesterday morning was still quite good weather.
Yes.
Till you know, even Juma, after Juma, the weather was okay, and only after the rain came and the cold pushed in.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people were already gone and already at the dams and rivers, so they've got to just adapt again, you know, make sure they dress quite warmly, got a decent fire going, lots of drinking lots of coffee, inshallah, to keep them warm and awake.
But would sudden temperature like this here immediately affect your fishing work?
It does, you know, straight or any fish, most fish are very sensitive to temperature drops, so your fishing will slow down. Not to say you're not going to catch at all, you know, you'd still catch the odd fish. And a lot of people and a lot of fishermen, to them, fish is just, catching the fish is just a bonus, you know, just to be out in the nature, out in outdoors or open, is what they appreciate. And especially in today's day, you know, today's times with the political situation and instability, people are just fed up and just want to get out of the cities and just have a breather, so to speak. And they, you know, that's where they go out and enjoy it. So even if they're not catching, you know, I always maintain, you know, the best therapist is the water. So people just go for therapy even if you're just sitting there watching the water, listening to the water flow. You know, the birds chirping, the ducks making their bit of noise, frogs and all that. So that in itself is therapy. So again, inshallah, whoever is out there, they'll be enjoying themselves.
And Lukman, you generally also say that it's not called catching, it's called fishing for that reason.
Maji, you got to go try and make the most of the conditions that are around you.
You know, there's this one picture that you always check the guy sending on the groups where they show this person when it's time to get up for work and it's all grossy and, you know, it gets up late stuff. But when it's time to go for fishing at 3 a.m. in the morning, ready with the fishing outfit and all of that, it just sort of lends into what you're saying. Somehow, I don't understand even my own body and my own mind. If I know I'm not going fishing, I'm just sort of like, you know, you feel aches and pains and all that sorts of things. But when it's time to go fishing, suddenly there's no aches and pains. And then you find yourself in a condition sometimes when you get to the game or whatever, where it is cold, it is difficult if you compare. But it's just so much of relief, so much of enjoyment. That type of therapy, I don't think people will understand unless they experience it and they know exactly what I'm talking about.
And they always say, you know, a bad day fishing is always better than a good day at work. So 100% to those guys that are gone fishing, they must make the most of it.
Definitely. Okay, so of course, Lukman, like we said earlier, I mean, just one program left before before Ramadan actually would come in the Screaming Reels program, and then we would then have to join our listeners after the month of Ramadan. We were saying also, like, in terms of time, barakah, you know, previously you would actually feel something of that weekend from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. Now, unfortunately, I mean, we find ourselves, before we know it, is like as though a few weekends ago was Ramadan, and then back to the month of Ramadan. And then I'll say a nice thing that if we prepare for this month, and then perhaps, of course, like we said, there's always benefit in the month, but we would enjoy the month of Ramadan more, inshallah. And of course, it's that one month where we try our best to sacrifice, you know, gain the full reward, the barakah of that month, and hope for the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, you know, you're 100% correct, and especially mentally, if you prepare yourself mentally, which is from now, you know, if you just take a mental shut down of everything else besides Ramadan, inshallah, you'll find, you'll enjoy it, and inshallah, you'll be rewarded abundantly for it. So, it is the only way forward, is just start mentally preparing yourself, you know, shut yourself off from all extra activities, and inshallah, make the most of it, because it only comes once a year, and like you say, it's a sacrifice we can all make for 1 month. It's well worth the sacrifice.
Even in terms of the fishing reports, what have you guys been hearing about, especially from over the border, you know, on the coast areas, even inland?
Coast area, we had some good reports. I spoke to a couple of customers in the week. Guys fishing off kayaks just off Durban, I mean, we're catching lots of barracuda and that, so it seems like they're having good fishing, and that's just from kayaks, not even from big boats or whatever, and guys really caught big fish, so that's good. Tiger fishing, like we always speak about this time of the year, I spoke to a customer yesterday that went up to the Boratsi floodplains, and they did exceptionally well, and he actually rates it as probably his best trip up to the Boratsi, and he does about two trips every year there. So he's rated this year's fishing as probably the best that he's ever experienced. So if there are anybody that wants to go tiger fishing in that area, and like we always mention on the program, the early season for the Upper Zambezi, which is that Boratsi floodplain area, is now. It's from May going into June, July. But this is, and the fishing is on. The fishing is quite good at the moment.
Look, perhaps I know the Boratsi plains. Maybe just to explain our listeners a bit more about it, location-wise, and is it true that this dam is closed for a certain period of the year to actually manage the fishing and things like
that? There is actually not a dam. It's a river system that actually, when there's lots of rain, basically the name suggests it's floodplain. So what happens is, off your main channel, the water floods the plains, and you get a lot of bait fish in that breeding and spawning in that area. And the moment that the rain stop, which is like now, what happens is that water recedes back into the main channel. And when that happens, that's when the fishing is good, because your big tiger fish are in the channel and waiting for waters to recede. And with that water receding into the main channel, you got abundance of bait fish in it, and that's what they thrive on. So it falls in the Upper Zambezi, right up corner, close to the Angola border. So that's probably your best area to fish at the moment. And they do have a closed season, and it's not really such a closed fishing season. The thing is, when it's lots of rain and flood, you know, accessibility, you know, to get there, it's a problem. And some of the guys at one of the tiger camps, they got luxury tented camps, so they can't have it, because the location is on if an area where if it floods, they would be underwater. So they actually pack their tents away for the rest of the year, and only in this season they then go up and put up their tents up again.
That's, you were talking about near the border of Angola, meaning which country exactly?
Zambia, it's in Zambia.
Oh, in Zambia.
Gee, it's in Zambia.
I was actually, the guys from our group, that we normally go on the survival camp, were looking at one of the Zambian lodges. They I've never actually been to Zambia, so if we get the chance to go there, I would really love to go and check this place out, inshallah.
See, like I say, you know, and not just that area, the whole Zambian area, the Zambezi River system, there's so many lodges. I mean, it's not just one or two. If you Google it, it comes up, there's quite a few lodges. And that whole area fishes well this time of the year. Look, in the past couple of years, netting has taken its toll, so fishing wasn't that good. But we did hear that some of the local lodges and local people are taking action against the illegal netting, where they're patrolling, they've got river boats, and they're removing all the illegal nets. And inshallah, through that action, where they're trying to at least look after what they have, the fishing will improve. But the last two seasons wasn't good fishing because of the netting. You know, the illegal netting did have its effect on the local tiger fishing population.
And in terms of sizes, what sizes more or less do the guests catch up in the Barossa floodplain?
If you go, I mean, you're targeting double digits, so you're looking at, in pound, they call it 10 pound plus, which is roughly about a 4.5 or 5 kilo. So when they go up there, that's what they're catching. They're catching fish over 5 kilo, you know, even as big as 10 kilo fish, which is a 20 pounder. And they do catch them up there.
That is really, really interesting, Adil.
Yeah, but I've never actually caught the tiger fish. You at least experienced it. Inshallah, one day I will go and catch a tiger fish. That's on my bucket list.
Inshallah, you'll go. You just have to make the effort.
I'm coming with a solid English corner to get some more stuff.
No problem. Inshallah, we'll give you the right stuff to catch your first tiger.
Inshallah.
Lukman, are you at the shop at the moment?
Gee, at the shop, gee, worky.
So the work is still continuing, inshallah.
Yeah,
if you want to get your stuff, your gear ready, obviously, for the next season, go and check out Tukman Mia, inshallah, at Solis Angler's Corner. He will receive you with a smile.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, Adil, like this.
Hello?
Adil?
I can hear like a
no, it's Lukman
sort of
actually went off.
Oh, okay.
Lukman actually went off the line, and I think for that reason we have this. Nonetheless, like I say, you know, when you're enjoying it and time is good, then this is exactly what happens. Your time just runs away from you very, very fast, and. Same. It seems like whether you talk about fishing or you're doing fishing, I don't know what happens, eh?
No, definitely, 100%.
Did you have any plans for this weekend? Of course, I know many people's plans would naturally change, I mean, after having weather like this year, I mean, for the weekend. But initially, was there any plans for this weekend, Adil?
Well, I told my wife that... okay, let me rephrase it. I asked my wife. I said I wanted to go fishing either this weekend or next weekend. You know, and then I definitely want to do a fishing trip before Ramadan. I'm not sure where I'm going to go. I've been doing too much of river fishing. In a sense that I've become too comfortable with it. I haven't gone to do any bass fishing at all. But I was sort of waiting for the, you know, the proper bass season to come around about August, September. So even if I do go fishing anyway, either tomorrow or either next weekend, it will probably be at the river anyway. Because the last time we went to the river, we sort of figured out a little bit about the water and what sort of fish are under. And, you know, some techniques of trying to catch those fish, especially at Willow Express. But even at New Machawi, at Manana Chibusam, we caught very, very well.
So you're doing more theory than practical, that round, Adil?
Yeah, you see, it's like how Mohammed Patel would say, we're learning to think like how the fish think.
Mm.
So it helps a lot, especially in your game. I mean, like for one thing, for example, I noticed, as an observation on the last time that we went to the river was the main fishing time was just after Fajr and just before sunset. In between, you were just catching one or two odd ones, but the really then the fish comes on, you know, it was at those times. So that was one observation I made. And then the other observation I made, obviously, was, you know, what sort of bait to use. We found that the most successful bait that we used there was just plain brown bread. And in the river system, you know, if you're going to put your sinkers and stuff like that on, you're going to get snagged and hooked up in the rocks. So a simple piece of bread on just a hook was producing the most fish. So, you know, you pick up on these things as you go along. And you think to yourself, ah, you're doing a program on fishing, so you better see that you learn a little bit about fishing.
Adil, would you say that would change every time you go there to that area, or would that technique be specific for that area, or perhaps for that season, or for that weather?
You see, what I've picked up is that consistently, this has been the way that we've been catching, consistently, which means sometimes, most times, you catch on that particular method, or you catch during those times. Not that I don't fish at other times. I do fish at other times. I mean, you know, when you go fishing, you're basically sitting by the water most of the time. You come away for salah, or you come away for toilet, or whatever. But most of the time, it's always been proving that. So somehow, you know, you find that fish feed also at certain times. And those times, any fisherman would always tell you, even wherever you go, obviously at the coast, you're working with a different tide. But most of the time, the best sort of fishing times are always sort of just when the sun is rising and just when the sun is setting. You know, those sort of seem to be the best times.
Your best times.
Yeah, for fishing.
I actually, you're saying that, you know, I mean, every fisherman, like you're saying, whatever species is being targeted, you know, they would always tell you, listen, we need to get to the waters early because yes. We don't want to miss that early morning rush. So it's like always the case, you know, the early morning and late afternoon, your run is always very, very good. So there is another reason why your fishermen are running away so early in the morning.
Yeah, just sort of like when you think that, no, they're just trying to get away from everything.
Yeah.
The reality, I suppose, is they say they want to actually get to the water at the right time. And you find some of the older fishermen, if you make them late, you know, and they don't get to the spot on time, then you're going to hear a lot of nonsense.
Kids are
now, you basically, yeah, you got to wait till the right time sets in. And so this basically comes with experience.
And mashallah, you gained a lot of that in your last fishing drop. Adilan, unfortunately, we're starting to run. Time is actually running against us. We've got like about 14 minutes left. And of course, still some airs to catch up on. So we've got Brother Adil Saleji, I think, with us on the line, Adil.
Ji, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Adil Saleji, you have to wait for me to intro you.
You have to, Adil.
Ji, maaf, I can't hear you.
I say we have to intro you properly. So let us just give our listeners a little bit of a background. Last weekend we were supposed to talk to Adil Saleji about something very interesting. It's a very different way of fishing, which he's just recently done, and now it seems to be hooked because he told me he's going again next weekend. But that's a different story. Adil Saleji is one of my companions, my compadres in our survival group that we have. And we have spoken to him before, mashallah. He's given us some reports of his fishing trips, for example, to, I think the last time was it way down south coast. What was it?
See, that was Port St. John's.
Port St. John's, exactly, yeah. So we've got Saleji on the line. Adil, not even two. How many weekends ago was it? About 4 weekends almost.
No, it was 2 weekends ago.
Okay, 2 weekends ago, yeah. You went out jet ski fishing.
Ji.
Now, jet ski is, just to give us a little bit of an idea, I think I've been on a jet ski once in my life. It's basically like the motorcycle of the sea.
Correct, ji.
All right. So give us a little bit of an insight into what fishing on such a small vessel in the big blue ocean.
it's a hell of a different experience. It's scary when you hook a shark, number one.
Sure.
Number two, it's not difficult to land a big fish because you're fishing with light tackle and you got your gaff and you got your rods and stuff already, you know. It's true. Obviously, you're fishing with two people on the boat, on the vessel.
Yes.
And you're not casting. Basically, you're just dropping it, just like how you fish off the boat. But this is just you fishing off a jet ski. And these jet skis that are built for fishing, they put an attachment on the sides, two hulls. So you can put your fish in there, or you can put your rods or your tackle or whatever. It's dry inside.
Mm.
And it's really an amazing feeling fishing off there. Like you said, I'm hooked. So yeah, I'm going down again next weekend to fish before Ramadan.
Yeah. So Adi, like you said, I've actually heard this before, Adil Sarajiv, that now you get two different types. You would get, of course, your normal jet ski, and then you would get specifically the fishing jet ski that would have these extra functions within the jet ski itself.
Correct. You'd have your fish finder on there. You'd have your hulls on the side and your rod stand built onto your hulls.
And then you said you had two people on the vessel.
Gee, it's two fishermen on the vessel, and it's comfortable. You fishing comfortably with two people on.
Sure. Now for the whole day, you're going to be in that one position basically, and just do your fishing.
Correct. Gee.
It doesn't become
amazing.
Uncomfortable,
I mean, if you're
not
used to it.
During the course of the day, then, doesn't it become uncomfortable then?
No, you're turning around all the time. You like one the driver who's keeping the boat, he's facing forward, and you at the back, you're facing back, so your backs are against each other.
Okay.
And when you're trolling around looking for different spots, obviously you're moving around on the boat, and there's always movement, so you're not stuck in one position. You can stand up on the jet ski if you like, at the back. So
it's quite stable.
It's quite stable, yeah. And it was amazing because when we were fishing at just outside Ushaka, we were trying to catch bait. And as we were bringing the bait up, you can just see all the dolphins coming and swimming near us. And yes, it was amazing, man.
And in terms of space for your chow and your drinks and things like that?
In your hull. You put it in your hull. It's massive. You can put a lot of things in there.
Adil, you know what? I just want to know something. In terms of your launch, you said just outside the shark. So did you guys leave from the bay and go out that way, or did you launch from the surf?
No. The license that the guy that I go with, that's my wife's uncle, he's got a ski boat S license. So you can launch at any ski boat club.
Why?
So you go out to the parking area, you unhitch your boat, a tractor comes, takes your trailer and puts you into the ocean, and he parks your boat off. I mean your trailer.
Right.
And then when you come back out, and you launch. I mean you hit the beach, and the tractor is already. You go and sign up. You call the tractor. He'll bring your trailer. He'll load you up, and he's back. You back out to the parking lot.
No, the reason why I'm asking you this is because I would say, going out through the harbour, that would be an easy launch. But now you're talking about a beach launch here.
A bay launch, you use a beach.
You got to go through the breakers. What's
correct,
it like climbing the breakers on the little jet ski?
Do you know, you got to read, you got to know how the waves work. You got to, because I mean, if you hit a wave hard, it's like hitting a wall. It might look like water, but I mean, I've seen a few boats that flipped, launching through the breakers, thinking that, let's just go over it. And experienced guys, and they flip their boats going out. So it's very important that you got to read your waves correctly.
Another question, I don't know. Like you said now, that means you could go out to the coast and you could hire a guide with a jet ski to go out. It's not your own that you're using.
And it's not my own that I'm using, no, because I don't have a skipper's license.
Okay.
So, I mean, even if you're going to use a jet ski, even if it's in a dam and the water police come and catches you without a license, your boat can be impounded, the owner can lose his license.
So if people want to join, I mean, and they want to go for
what
something,
experience?
Perhaps a contact number there, Adil?
I can arrange a contact number. It's on my phone. I'll give it to Adil and then he'll give it on air next week.
Yeah.
Is that fine?
100%. Maybe it's interesting. I mean, you would know about hiring and things like that, but very rarely, I mean, you would actually pick up jet ski hiring. I mean, what's a guy taking you out in the ocean?
I would love to.
There are a group of guys that are doing it. I mean, it's mostly amongst the white guys that go out and, you know, fishing and stuff. I mean, while I was there, there was a fishing competition, so there was over 300 boats out that day.
Mm.
And they didn't allow us to go out unless we sign up for the competition, and it was like 600 rand to sign up. And there was quite a few jet skis that went out, and all of them were white guys. We were the only Indian guys that were out fishing for their competition.
Well, that's a start. I think after this, inshallah, you'll get a few more. I know my cousin inshallah. In Alfred, he likes to go out in Mozambique with the jet ski, and
okay.
he's quite proficient catching off the jet ski in Mozambique. So, yeah. Anyway, Adil, unfortunately, we're coming very, very close to the end of the time. What I'm going to try to do next week is try and keep your phone with you, make sure that it's secure in a nice Ziploc bag, and
okay.
we're going to try and call you while you're on the water next weekend, inshallah. You'll probably be out very, very early on the Saturday morning.
Awesome, GG.
Perhaps you can give us a first-hand experience of what it's like to be on the jet ski next weekend, inshallah.
Inshallah. I'm sure you've seen the video that I posted on the survivors group. Where I took a video when I smiled at the end. You know, I don't do that to make you jealous, but yeah. Anyway.
But listen, yeah. Apart from that, please don't forget my share of fish when you come back from next week's drop, inshallah.
Gee, inshallah, definitely.
Anil, JazakAllah for that. We'll chat with you inshallah again. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Yeah, Adil, listen, something interesting, something very different, eh?
You know, it's always Adil that are having all these adventures, eh?
Yeah, Adils try funny things.
Adil.
Some of them know how to fish, some of them don't.
We'll see what you say. We're too busy giving everybody the story, so we don't always get to fish.
No, really something different. Something different. I mean, you know, it would be actually a nice experience. I just can't understand. Of course, I think being on there would be a totally different experience. But like you're saying, you know, I would just feel a bit uncomfortable spending the whole day. But I mean, you said you could stand up and you could move a bit freely whilst you're on the jet ski. So I would think, I mean, his experience, he would know more about it. But
I think when we get Mohammed Patel, maybe probably after the program, after when we start the next season, inshallah, it would be interesting to hear what he has to say about, jet skis and sort of how they build. Give us a little bit more detail into the actual vessel itself. Because from what I'm understanding from Adil, these are not so small. You know, they're quite big, but they're very... different to maneuver. You're sitting on a seat and you're managing the thing from the center console, which is, and then you've got this motorbike like steering system. So very, very, very interesting. Yeah.
Sure, 100%. I mean, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it at that for today. We're going to catch up with you next week, Saturday morning, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Manana sajati mullin to all our wonderful listeners.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners out there, inshallah, until we meet again. We request the du'as of our listeners. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.